Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. With everyone stuck at home over the past several weeks, social media updates and videos have increasingly become a primary way to communicate. And in this odd political moment, my guest Brent Terhune's videos are getting more attention than ever. The comedian and podcast host from Indianapolis is up to something really interesting in his videos, which now date back years, playing a right-wing character by the same name with plenty of grievances.
You can't tell by my words and actions, but I'm a Christian. And there's just three things you don't go messing around with. I call them the three G's: God, guns, and country. They don't care about you, lamestream media, Democrats. They don't care about you. If they did, then what on flat earth is safer than a church? If you don't believe me, go ask the Catholics and the Southern Baptists. They don't care about you. There ain't nothing dangerous about dipping your hand in some holy water that 1,000 other people have touched. You wanted me to wash my hands? Well, there you go.
And as evidenced by the replies to his posts, not everyone gets the joke. Terhune is the host of the podcast Field Trip and a touring comedian. Brent, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
I'm asking everybody this question lately. What has life been like for you under the pandemic?
It's been weird because, you know, as a living, I traveled and tell jokes, so I'm not able to do that. So as you said in the intro, I've kind of taken all my efforts and put them online, which I was trying to do before, but now I just have so much free time and there are things happening daily that I could talk about. So I'm just trying to use the time to be productive and work on things that I can do from home.
How long have you been able to do comedy full time?
I think since 2012, and that's a cop-out because I was living with my mom, so I was like, I went to school for radio, so I was like, I could try to get a real job or I could do comedy, and then it's worked out ever since. So I've been able to, you know, I've been very lucky to pay bills and save money doing comedy, which is, you know, a win in my book.
Is it correct your mom had some disabilities and you were helping her, right?
Yeah. And, there's a video on my YouTube. She had a yard sale, so she's my biggest fan. So we made a commercial for her yard sale. That's one of my favorite things that we've done. So, and as far as I'm concerned, she's still having the yard sale and she'll, see you by appointment.
Did she encourage you getting into comedy?
Oh yeah. And I started comedy when I was 16 and, so I was just telling jokes as a kid in high school, and then, you know, I did my first paid week, and I even forgot that they were going to give me a check, but she's been my biggest fan. She's been to tons of shows, and she carries my business cards around with her and gives them out to strangers because that's what a normal person would do. So I guess I have a default street team, and her name is Mom.
Does she mind when you do stuff about her, or does she like it?
She likes it, and I have an album coming out this year. I'm actually editing it while in quarantine or, you know, lockdown. So, but there's a big chunk about her, and she always loves it when I talk about her.
So what kind of humor did you do at age 16?
Just stuff about being in high school. You got to write what you know, and especially when you're a 60-year-old kid who looks 16, it would be odd if I was talking about my full-time day job down at the, you know, the car lot as a car salesman. You know, you just got to talk about being in high school. And I had a character named Uncle Frank who on occasion I'll still do, and I did the comic strips with him. Just normal everyday stuff, and, you know, you got to address what you look like. So I have red hair. I know it's, you can't tell over the radio, but you just have to address what you look like and then talk about, you know, being in high school and just stuff as being a kid, you know.
And you went to Catholic school, right?
Yes.
So I imagine that has a lot of baked in opportunity too.
Oh, for sure. And, it's a very unique experience, and you get to tell people that weren't Catholic, you know, we're wearing uniforms and having our shirts tucked in, and if you didn't have your shirt tucked in, it was a detention, that kind of thing. It's ripe for jokes.
So let's talk about this video series. I think it's possible the first time I was aware of these videos you do was after the Colin Kaepernick situation. You made a viral mm-hmm. video. I think, is it fair to say that was kind of like your big online break?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think a year previously, I think they were taking a knee during the NFL, and I made one about that because I was just seeing people making all these videos about them burning their season tickets or burning their jerseys. And then a year later, Kaepernick either, I think he was taking a knee the 1 year, and then the next year got the Nike contract, and that was huge. You couldn't go online without seeing anybody talk about that. And so I ended up burning, you know, stuff that obviously wasn't part of the NFL. I had a shirt that was in the Nike font, but it said Mike Pence because I just found it at Goodwill. It was one of those things that seems like it was meant to be.
The old governor of Indiana, we should say.
Yes, yes. He's the presidential ride or die chick because he's been there since day one. But yeah, so that was the one where, you know, and I tried to make it as real as possible. And I'm a big pro wrestling fan. And a lot of times wrestlers, they don't break character. What they do is real. They want it to be portrayed as real. So that's what I was going for. Was don't break character, don't give a wink to the camera, make it real, and if you get it, you get it.
You know, he didn't sacrifice nothing. All he did was use his celebrity status to shine light on an injustice in our world, all while doing it in a peaceful and nonviolent way. And I've chosen to take that message and completely misinterpret it, you know, because he's disrespecting the flag. That's what he's doing. He's disrespecting this flag right here. You know, because everybody knows it's more important to have a song for America than it is to actually care about Americans. That's the truth. And he's disrespecting the troops, too. You know, remember the troops? We send them off to war and they come home and we forget about them. You know, what more could you want? You know, maybe adequate physical and mental health care to lead a happy and fulfilled life. But at least we stand during the national anthem to show that they're heroes. You know, at least we do that. So here's what we're going to do, Nike. I'm boycotting you just like I did Google, just like I did Harley Davidson, just like I do the NFL except for Sundays and Mondays. I'm boycotting you. I'm done.
And it also kind of coincided with just this new form of media. I mean, everyone all of a sudden had an HD camera and, you know, unlimited bandwidth to upload things to Facebook. So at any twist and turn in, you know, news cycles or politics, here came the takes.
Yeah, and that the character is based on somebody that would get in their truck with their wraparound sunglasses and just rant. And I love a guy that rants in his truck because apparently he's thought everything through and his way is the way to fix everything. This front seat philosopher.
Is the character, and I want to say for people who haven't seen the videos, it reminds me kind of Stephen Colbert because the level of commitment is absolute, as you say. Is he based on someone you know?
It's just based on those guys that I would see ranting in trucks online, and I have kind of a go-to list of guys that I've kind of liked or followed on the internet just to see what everybody's talking about, because I do whether I agree with their opinion or not, I do think some of them are really good speakers and performers, but it's just, yeah, I follow those guys. And then if there's something that's big enough of an issue to talk about, usually the internet will already just let you know because it's already being talked about.
Do you have improv training?
In high school, I did in Indiana, but I think it's like a chain across the country, but it's called Comedy Sports. And it was like Whose Line Is It Anyway, but in like a sports format. So I did that when I was a kid. And then, you know, I've been doing stand-up for 14 years too.
And we should say your stand-up is different than your characters.
Definitely, because, you know, I'm touring. I try to, you know, every week. So I think last year I did 47 weeks on the road. And it's hard to, in the middle of Wichita, Kansas, to stop my my middle-of-the-road comedy act, which is funny, but there's no strong opinions, and then start doing a character that some people may get or they may not get. Just because they're not listening, you know. And it's one thing if I was like a Bill Maher and you came to see my show on purpose and you knew what to expect. But some people are just showing up to a comedy club because it's a Friday night and they had the night off, you know.
Have you thought about moving to somewhere other than Indiana to do comedy?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And as we talked previously, I'm in Indiana just to help my mom. I'm the only family she's got, so I just I don't want to leave, you know. So I'm here, and thankfully, with the internet, I can reach out to people the same as I could in New York. You know, I'm missing out on connections and stuff being in New York or L.A., but my situation is what it is. And, you know, being in the Midwest and Indianapolis, I'm pretty close to a lot of cities that I would just work doing stand-up anyway.
Indiana's one of the reddest states in the country. Have you gotten any backlash from your character?
Yeah, I mean, you probably read through the comments, and a lot of them are people that just don't understand what the character is doing as far as satirically. You know, I look like somebody they wouldn't like, but then I'm saying things that they would agree with. But the problem with any side politically or anybody today, it's so easy to just see the caption on the video and see the guy talking with an angry face, and you just assume everything from there. And that, you know, there's people commenting on stuff, and then they'll say later, oh yeah, I didn't even watch. Like, and I'm guilty of that too sometimes. Not necessarily commenting, but I write off something before I even watch it. It's just kind of the age we live in.
Do you ever wish that you had a different name for this particular character than your own name?
No, I never even expected it to do it more than like once. And then, you know, stuff just kept happening and the guys in the trucks kept making videos. So it never bothered me that it was the same name, because again, whether it was a different name or my name, if you get it, you get it, you know?
Yeah. Do you, I mean, it's effectively acting. It's really good commitment. Do you go to a different place mentally when you're doing the character?
I don't know. I guess, you know, I try to just be that pro wrestling character that, takes hard stances on things and doesn't break character. And I guess there's a couple different versions of the character, because some of the stuff I talk about deals with pretty heavy subject matter, and then other stuff. Like I did one yesterday on this will date the interview, but Trump said, you know, to inject disinfectants. And that one was a little more playful because I'm already trying to make fun of something that's, at a cartoonish level in the first place.
A lot of people said, comedy was dead with the age of Trump. I mean, we're in a sort of past the possibility of satire.
And yeah, I mean, in some ways we are, because again, and I get a lot of comments of people say it's hard to tell if it's satire or not because things are taken to such an extreme. And I definitely agree to that. I think the guys from South Park would agree, because they would try to make fun of Trump and satirize Trump, and whatever they would do, he would just top it and say something crazier. So you're literally trying to like make jokes about Bugs Bunny, essentially. You know, it's just hard to top that and still be grounded.
Who are some of your top comedians that were influential on you or that you enjoy the most?
I mean, I like George Carlin a lot, but you know, George Carlin and Richard Pryor is everybody's favorite comedian, so that's not anything groundbreaking. But I like Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock and Mitch Hedberg. I remember when I was a kid, I would stay up and watch The Tonight Show with Leno, and I would watch his monologue, which was always like 15 minutes of him just doing stand-up jokes, but they were, you know, relevant and current jokes. And then I would stay up later to watch Conan, and that's been more my guy. And I love The Simpsons. He was a writer on The Simpsons. So those things, especially The Simpsons and Conan. And then there are guys all over the country that not many people have heard of, like Chad Daniels or Greg Warren, Roy Wood Jr., who's now a correspondent on The Daily Show. So those are the guys that are doing great work. It's just they haven't had the exposure that some people have had.
What's the hardest thing about being a stand-up?
I guess being gone and traveling, you know, because you're gone half the week. And then if you're driving or you're flying, it just week after week, you get tired of doing the same stuff as far as checking into a hotel, and you know the breakfast is from 6 to 10. I know that, but that's their job to tell me. And then just, I don't know. I'm having people to start, they're starting to come out to see me on purpose. So I just want everybody to leave having seen a good show and leaving saying, I wish he was still performing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know if your tour will get rerouted or rescheduled for when the dates pick back up, but I'd love to see you out this way sometime soon. And your influences there, Conan and the Simpsons, explain a lot, I think, about why Mitch Hedberg, too, that I have found your videos so funny. So thank you so much, Brent, for taking this time, and keep making them.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and I want to remind everybody that if you want to look for my videos or any kind of social media stuff, my website is brentcomedy.com, and you can find all the info there, and then links to everything that you ever wanted to know about me. Too much information. So brentcomedy.com.
Again, that's Brent Terhune, and it was a real pleasure having you on the show. Thanks for taking some time.
Thanks. Good talking to you, man. Thank you.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.